Once a month, we visit with our partners at the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, SULA, for a segment we call Underground History. Chelsea Rose and Mark Tveskov of SULA bring in people and stories about archaeology and the intricate and fascinating process of truly unearthing the past. This month, we put the shovels aside. The object of study was never underground in a literal sense. Closeted, yes. Underground, no. Darcelle of Portland is identified in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's oldest drag queen. Darcelle is the alter ego of Walter Cole. Walter and Darcelle are the objects of study of Don Horn, who has documented the story in a musical that played this autumn and in a display of Darcelle's dresses at the Oregon Historical Society. Don Horn, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Chelsea Rose is on the line as well. And Chelsea, where are you this time?
I'm in Las Vegas.
Okay, not near the slot machine, so it's not too loud there.
I'm in a quiet spot.
Okay. Don Horn, let's start with you. Walter Cole is a Portland guy, and he did live a very conventional life up to a point. Tell us about how he made the transition into Darcelle.
Well, the interesting thing about Walter Cole, he's owned 10 businesses as well, so a lot of people don't know that. He bought a tavern down in Skid Row in 1967. It was a Greek tavern. And for 2 years, he floundered with how to make it successful. One day, somebody walks in, goes to the bathroom, and walks out. He walks in as a woman, walks out as a man. This is 1969. And Walter goes, okay, did I see what I just saw? And then the following Friday, the woman walks in again, and he stops and says, wait a minute, who are you, and why aren't you buying anything? Because I can't stay in business if you don't do something. And they got to become friends, and this was a drag queen. And the name was Jerry Ferris, who is actually from a Klamath Falls Indian Reservation, Native American, and he invited Walter to see him perform. The next week, Walter went, saw him perform. The week after that, Jerry said, you're going to go on stage yourself, put on a dress, got him a Goodwill dress, put on a hat, and performed. And Walter said, that's it, I'm done. And about 2 or 3 months later, he was trying to find somebody to keep his, you know, his tavern alive. And Jerry said, who is now Tina, said, well, why don't we perform for 15 minutes in front of these people? And Walter goes, they're all going to leave. And he goes, yeah, but guess what? You have a captive audience for those 15 minutes. That started in 1969 and still goes on 52 years later.
Wow. So at any time, did Walter think of retiring Darcelle?
He's never said he wanted to retire. He loves what he does. In fact, if he's not at the club, like we were in New York in May, and he goes, oh, gosh, you know, they've got a show going on right now. I wish I was still there. And I said, you're in Newark. And I know I can't be in two places at one time. He's always that way.
How far ahead of her time was Darcelle? I mean, even for Portland, which, you know, the Keep Portland Weird stuff is a more recent thing, I know. But Portland's always been fairly accepting, it seems like, of a lot of different sorts of ways of being.
Well, remember, being gay or being in drag or anything was illegal up until about 1971. There was a lot of laws changes, but even after that, there were some legal things, challenges. So Walter said, you only did it within the club, not outside the club. Nowadays, you see it everywhere. So it was really a boundary issue for him that he really watched himself. And he said, the one thing that I really want to emphasize about Walter is that he leaves it at the club. He doesn't go out because he does it for, you know, notoriety or whatever. He's known as Walter Cole. He's known as Darcelle.
So inside the doors, he's Darcelle, but everywhere else he's Walter.
Unless he's asked to go out and perform at he's gone to Rotary clubs and Elks clubs and things like that. So he has been known to go out, raise money. He's raised multitude of millions of dollars to help organizations, Special Olympics and stuff like that. So he's known for that. But he says, when I go home, I put sweatpants on, I have a waffle, a cup of coffee, I'm okay.
I want to make it clear that we're talking in present tense about Walter. Walter is still alive. 89 years old, is he?
He'll be 89 November the 16th.
Okay.
So he still performs.
Still performs.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
How many days?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday. So six times a week.
Has he ever slowed down? I mean, is this a lesser schedule than he used to keep?
No. Well, they used to do years ago when the club got reviewed by the Willamette Week in 1974. The club became this huge thing, and they did 4 shows a night on Fridays and Saturdays.
Wow, that's
that. You can imagine. Oh my God, at 1 o'clock in the morning, still having the makeup on, trying to go out and entertain people. And he says, finally, he says, I can't keep doing this. you know, wow. four nights a week. So they do it two nights a week on Friday and Saturdays, and Wednesdays and Thursdays it's once each night. So, and they're still bringing people in. I mean, there's times that it's so packed you cannot get in.
There's often a line around the block, I know, to get in.
Still, yeah. So this is still one of the hotter tickets in town, it sounds like.
Yes. Well, in fact, many times you'll read it says, the things to do in Portland are, you know, Pittick Mansion, the Rose Garden, Voodoo Donuts, and ourselves.
I was wondering if Voodoo Donuts would make the list, but there we go.
They did. And you know, I want to say something. Walter's Club has been in existence longer than Starbucks and Powell's Books.
Wow. Okay, that's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot.
Yeah, so this is why we're having Darcelle and Walter Cole featured on Underground History this month. Chelsea Rose from SULA, the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, by phone with us from Las Vegas this time. And our guest is Don Horn from Triangle Productions in Portland. And we should point out that he's not only talking about the life of Walter Cole and Darcelle, but also mounted a musical at Triangle Productions, which closed recently. It's called That's No Lady, That's Darcelle. And then there's a display at the Oregon Historical Society of Darcelle's dresses called The Many Shades of Being Darcelle. That'll be at the Oregon Historical Society through December 8th. Questions, comments, join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Were there some tough times for Walter / Darcelle? I mean, you pointed out that what he was doing was illegal when it started, and then obviously through the years, a bunch of the country resisted recognizing gay people as people.
Well, he's always said there's been no real problems at his club. They're in Skid Row, so you really have to go and want to be there. Does that make sense? It's not like, you know, you're down at Pioneer Courthouse and everybody's around. This is literally in the Skid Row part of town, Chinatown, Old Town, Skid Row. Mm-hmm. And so to have that business last as long as it has is amazing, number one. Number two, like you said, they've only had once when somebody boycotted, and it was because of something really stupid. It wasn't anything about him being gay, you know, or that the club. But he always has said, this club is more straight than it is gay. Hmm. Because there's bachelorette parties, there's birthday parties. People go down to celebrate.
Wow. So
in the early years,
go ahead, Chelsea.
Did it serve as like a safe place for other people in the gay community to go congregate there or to be themselves?
Well, it's interesting you're saying that because today we're voting, the National Register is voting on his house to be in the National Register. So, and then what after that is we're going to try to get his club on the National Register. And those are questions being asked of, you know, the form that you fill out. And yes, there are so many people that have said it was because of him and his club and the community center that he built and that family that he built. When you walk in the door, you're
that.
Yes, yeah.
So talk about your own path crossing that of Walter Darcelle, Don. Because obviously you're younger, you didn't grow up with him or anything.
No, I didn't. Well, in fact, he's 88 and I'm 64. So, yeah, there's a couple years difference. The thing is, I run a theater company. I've ran it for 30 years. And I've known him, worked with him on, like, costumes. Hey, can I borrow this? Hey, could you, you know, do this, that, and yonder? I've done a couple shows down at his club. But in 1993, I wrote a play about Divine. And Divine was John Waters, you know, inspiration and did a lot of, like, Hairspray and, you know, those time of movies. And so I asked Walter to do out a drag. And Walter goes, you know, I've been an actor before. And I go, that's why I'm asking you. And when we did it out a drag, people came to see him as Walter Cole. And that's bonded us for all these years.
Wow. So then what made the timing right to create a show about Darcelle? That's No Lady, That's Darcelle, which was, what, September and into the beginning of October?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I love history, and I wrote a play and a musical about Gracie Hansen from the World's Fair and who came down to the Hoyt Hotel. And through that, Walter kept telling me about this lady named Gracie Hansen and the inspiration that his over-the-top hair and over-the-top jewels and the dresses were inspired by Gracie Hansen. And so after finishing Gracie, I thought, well, if we inspired from Gracie, how come we don't talk about you? And that got me thinking. It took a long time to figure out how to ask him because, you know, he's so busy. And he also is very private about a lot of his stuff in his life. And 2 years ago, his partner died. that were together 47 years.
Wow.
And through that, we started talking about his life and the whole bit. And he's allowed me to do so many things that people are surprised at. Going to his house, his 6,000 square foot home, and going through every nook and cranny and finding things he never wanted anybody to find and didn't know he had. Went to the club, did so many things, and wrote a 7 or 28 page book about him.
So,
and that just got published.
Okay, so a lot of material on Walter. But then when you're creating a musical, I mean, you got some Portland musical royalty, it sounds like, involved in the project.
I did. Well, and the great thing about, like, Tom Grant became, he was 18 years old. Walter had a club underneath his coffee house called Studio A. It was a jazz club. Tom played there as a youngster with so many great people. And what happened was his dad came and saw him one day, and a couple weeks later his father died. And Tom's always honored Walter for having a jazz club that his father got to see him play professionally. And through that, I called Tom up and said, sure, I'll do it. Marvin Rendy Ross did some shows with Walter. So all these people had known and worked with him, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool to bring these people together to honor him? And that's what we did.
I have to admit that ever since I saw the name Rendy Ross,
I've
had hardened my heart in my head since yesterday afternoon. But you point, this is not a show that's all sweetness and light. You write on the website about a dark song or two in That's No Lady, That's Darcelle.
Well, we all have a past that we've encountered an issue or two. His mother died when he was 11 years old, and his father became an alcoholic during that time because he was so depressed over his wife's death. And through that, one of Walter's aunts moved in the house, moved into the family, the mother and father's bedroom. His dad moved into his bedroom. And through those 3 years, something happened that Walter never talked about or really got into his system until about he was 65 years old. And he was talking to a group of kids at a school, and one kid raised his hand and said, I've been molested. And Walter said, I have too. First time he ever admitted, never told anybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a process of discovery for him as well as you then.
Exactly. And that's been really wonderful. And people, our hope is when people hear the songs and hear the story, go, you know what? There's healing. People can make something their life and move on and become something better than what they've gone through. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Don Horn's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange on this month's edition of Underground History. Chelsea Rose is on with us, too, from Las Vegas by phone. Don Horn runs Triangle Productions in Portland, which recently put up a new musical about Walter Cole as Darcelle, the drag queen, the world's oldest drag queen, as documented by the Guinness Book of World Records. The show called That's No Lady, That's Darcelle has closed. There's a display of Darcelle costumes at the Oregon Historical Society called The Many Shades of Being Darcelle up through December 8th. Talk about the costume collection, if you would, Donnie, and was this pulled together while the musical was in rehearsal?
Well, again, I call it now the Darcelle Project because I have so many projects that I've been doing. You know, the thing was is that I kept going, when we were writing the book, I said, oh, that, your dresses, he goes, no, they're costumes. Remember, I'm an actor. This is a role I'm doing. And I thought, okay, that surprises me because dresses are dresses. And he kept going, you don't understand, these are costumes. I made these. Most of them I made. And I thought, well, I need to do something with this. So I went to the Oregon Historical Society. I said, do you have any of his material? And they go, no, we'd love to do something. I go, let's talk about this. And through that, we said, let's do an exhibit. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do is to pull costumes from his eras or the ones that are more iconic to what people know. Like there's a Christmas tree that lights up. Mm-hmm. So a Christmas tree dress lights up. With a 25-foot extension cord that runs through the back of it, you know. It's iconic. People love it. People remember it. It's lit up now at the exhibit. And they extended it a month. It was supposed to close November the 8th. It's now December the 8th. And they said so many people want to see this.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to see it a couple weeks ago, and I just was taken aback by how intricate and how much skill would have gone in and patience to making those costumes. And also, the other thing I have to mention is I'm known for wearing big earrings, but oh my gosh, how do those earrings stay on his head? They're huge. And before you answer that, I just want to also say, as an archaeologist, I'm so excited to see this material culture of being preserved and recognized and out there, and all the work you've done to kind of showcase this and to really put it in its rightful place in the history of Oregon. I'm just so excited about this.
Thank you. Some of the dresses were Gracie. One of them was Gracie Hansen's dress. That Gracie's 5'2". Walter is 6'2". They wore the same dress.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You should see this dress. And it was only altered for the back because Walter has a bigger chest size for his shoulder-to-shoulder than Gracie did. And what happened was Walter always said earrings should go from the earlobe down to your breast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Right?
Right.
And that weighs about a pound and a half.
Oh, wow.
After a while, the earlobe gets longer. Be through his ear. How are they hooked onto his head?
Guess what? They're clip-ons.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So people would think that they would, you know, have to be, you know, hole in the ear, right?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I was at the club a couple months ago. I was helping him get ready, and he goes, "Get me the gaff tape." And I go, "Oh, why do you need gaff tape?" He goes, "Oh, that's how I do my earrings. You roll gaff tape up, and it sticks. And believe it or not, it does work."
Huh.
Oh my gosh! Ooh,
I know.
Yay! A life hack.
All right, so I think Chelsea's going to have longer earrings next time I see her.
That's right.
Yeah, these are about a foot and a half long.
Wow.
So
and they weigh about a pound and a half. So, yeah, they're heavy on both sides, plus the necklace. Remember the necklace?
Yeah.
Right.
And one dress with jacket weighs 70 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. What a workout.
Yes.
So
he still wears something like that at 88.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So what kind of interpretation, Donnie, did you seek, you and Oregon Historical Society, seek to put in place? I mean, it's a story of Walter and Darcel, of course, but what else did you want to say about Portland and Oregon society at large through the exhibit?
Well, it was interesting. I took all the costumes or whatever, what they said, you know, we've never done something like this before. And I thought, this is historic within itself, that they have never taken a costume collection from anybody to do something like this. They've done like Native American, you know, regalia and, you know, pioneers, and but they've never taken one single person. So this was historic. What I wanted to show people was that Walter was not just a drag queen. Walter was a costumer. He made some of these. And they've lasted. And the design and the, you know, like what Chelsea just said, the, you know, what the fabrics and the interest way of there's balls. There's actually marbles on this one dress.
Wow.
Pressed marbles. And they were hot glued on.
Wow.
And they still last to this day.
So before we have to go, is there going to be a re-upping of the stage show, That's No Lady, That's Darcel?
Well, we're talking about taking it to New York. So, and then, yes, I would like to bring it back for his 90th birthday.
Okay. That's No Lady, That's Darcel. The 90th birthday will be a year from November. Triangle Productions put it on. It's already closed. But the other display of the dresses and other accoutrements, the many shades of being Darcel at the Oregon Historical Society through December 8th, assembled by Don Horn, who clearly has really delved into the life of Walter Cole and Darcel in a big way. Don, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And Chelsea, good to have you again.
Yeah, both. Thanks. And also, hopefully these two sites will be on the National Register soon, so there'll be a monument to this history that'll be recognized nationally.
Okay, that's the end of this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening.